This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Memories of war don't fit easily into poems or stories. Trauma can be hard to put into words. But there's something to be gained in trying to get it down on paper. At least that's what the founders of Veterans Writing Collective believe. They've invited veterans and veteran family members to write about their experiences and participate in writing workshops. Rebecca King is co-founder of the Veterans Writing Collective and a consultant at Methodist University's Writing Center, and Paul Strobel is another co-founder of the group, an Army veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he'll participate in a panel discussion called Writing About War. That's April 12th at UNCG, part of the North Carolina Writers Network Spring Conference. Rebecca and Paul, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have
you
here.
It's nice to be here.
Rebecca, tell us how this group got started.
Well, it started somewhat organically. We're obviously near Fort Bragg, so we have a lot of soldiers around. And in the writing community, just suddenly, there was this interest in helping veterans tell their stories. And so Robin Green, who's a professor of English at Methodist, Joe Bethanti, a group of people all of a sudden just started connecting. And that's how it happened. It just happened kind of randomly. And over time, slowly.
Paul, first, thank you for your service. And secondly, how did you get involved? Have you always wanted to write?
Yeah, I've wanted to write for a long time. I wanted to write before my service. I kind of got into it in high school. And then while I was in the service, it was something I looked at. When it came time for me to decide to stay in or get out, that was kind of one of the things I was leading to, was to write. And then as a student at Methodist in the writing program, Robin Green invited me to participate in the foundation of the group. And that's kind of when I jumped on board.
What about this assumption that I made in my introduction, that it can be difficult to write about this trauma? It's hard to put it into words, is it?
Yeah, there's definitely some issue with it. It's not easy, and it's not always pretty. And I think part of the difficulty comes from the limited education necessarily of the writer, where that person is, how they clearly say things. It's one thing to try and write something, and it might come out one-sided or maybe uneducated or brutal, but there might be a lot more to it. There's a depth to it that's hard to communicate, and that definitely takes a lot of exercise and practice to get right.
In your case in particular, when you began writing about your experience in combat, did you find that you were censoring yourself?
Yeah, I've always struggled with that. There's a lot of emotions that kind of go into the experience of writing, especially when it comes to veterans. I try and keep names fairly close to the original names of people in my writing, mainly because I see that as a memorial. These stories aren't just my stories. They're the stories of everybody I served with, and I want to maintain that. But also, I have to be protective on how I portray these people and how it's shown later. These are very real people in some cases. They can still see parts of themselves in the writing, and they might come back to say, hey, you know, is this how you see this? I've had a lot of good response for the most part, but I try to be very careful and very respectful.
Rebecca, you have not had military service yourself. How do you approach this as a coach and as somebody who's directing and helping to co-direct this program?
Well, at first I didn't know how I belonged to this group, and then I realized it really is through the writing. I focus on the writing and the risk that it takes to be a truth teller. But in that risk taking, you have to have some tools. And it's my job to help people find out where their tools are, what they are, and how to implement it in their writing.
I mean, Paul said something about education level. I mean, can you take anybody who perhaps hasn't had the skill or experience in using words and help them make a useful expression?
I think that's a definite yes, because that's exactly what we do. When we started this, we didn't know the level that we were working on. In fact, there were so many people that showed up, I wondered what I'd gotten into. So, but at the same time, when we sit down in a room and people are willing to share the risks that they have taken, we're open. Now, we critique them. I don't just pat them on the back and say, oh, this is wonderful. We say, what does this story need to be better? And that's how we do it. That's the only way we do it.
And you sit around a group, so other writers are there listening as well.
Yes, they're active participants. Yeah. It's just not Paul and myself saying, okay, this is what is good and this is what is not so good. Everybody listens, and everybody participates in the workshopping.
Paul, what was it like for you that first time you read your work aloud in front of a group who you knew was going to critique you?
Thankfully for the Methodist education, we have some great educators there. Critiquing is something that I'm totally into. Military experience, that's just part of life, and constructive criticism or any kind of criticism is great. I think it was more difficult trying to say what my experience was, because there's a conflict in the interests of the writers there. There's a lot of, maybe they're not war vets, maybe they're veterans that served during peacetime, or maybe they're family members. There's a lot of, what does my story matter? And for me, coming from a conflict scenario, saying, hey, you know, this is what I have to write, I'm worried about putting people off and making them think, oh, what do I have to add to that? And really, they all do. All the voices are important. We've had lots of members come out and say, hey, my story counts. I did something. And I think that was the most intimidating part, was I didn't want to belittle or make it seem like anything was belittled that other people had done or worked.
You have this dramatic story to tell, and it's heroic in many ways, or at least it comes off sounding that way. What about somebody who is behind a desk?
Exactly. Yeah. And those people have great stories. I mean, the things wouldn't work the way they did without them. And maybe their conflict isn't even behind the desk. Maybe it's at home, or maybe it's supporting a partner who is in the service. How does that story work in? But that story is just as important to the entire tapestry of military life as the combat story would be.
You know, Rebecca, you have a tool you didn't know. You could order them not to write in passive voice anymore.
I do just that.
Hey, Paul, would you read something for us? Maybe you can tell us about it before you do.
Sure. This comes from a publication through Elite Magazine. It's part of a larger piece, but it's called Christmas Lights. The idea of the writing is it deals with episodic memory and kind of the misplacement of images and how writers see things more episodic instead of linear. And if you look at the larger piece, it just kind of jumps from experience to experience. And this is about an experience we had coming back from a patrol in Afghanistan. It's called Christmas Lights. We arrived at dusk at a time when the sun melts away into the mountains and leaves the world dark and cold. The Navy Seabees had been excavating roadways, and hundreds of locals crowded around to watch the foundation of the new Afghanistan being built. Men, women, and children, they were piled atop each other watching from the car tops and truck beds. Then pop. That's how our nearest CB explained it. No boom or fire like the movies, you know? I nodded. All those bodies, they just suck up the sound, he said, and he seemed to focus on the fading sun. He was looking hard. I was curious, maybe unnerved, so I looked too, mostly so I didn't have to see his face anymore. Then they just kind of fell everywhere. Hmm? I said, because there weren't any words. All these pieces, he said. His arms seemed to claim everything in the valley. We didn't have nothing to mark them with but chem lights. Now as the sun slipped away, I could see a sea of luminescent colors. Reds, blues, greens, yellows, oranges, and whites. And each part of a grisly rainbow. Each once a part of a someone or a somebody. The CB's eyes seemed to linger as the sun slowly abandoned us. It came to me that he wasn't watching the fading sun, but longing for forgiving heat that might burn away whatever image was lingering in his mind. There was no moon, there were no stars, as though the sky, like the CB, simply wanted to forget.
Paul Strobel, a co-founder of the Veterans Writing Collective. Paul, tell me about that. When did that, I mean, how long after the actual event did you sit down to write that poem?
It's probably been close to about 7 years.
Had you been composing that in any form until then, or how did that poem come to you?
So it deals with a lot of the episodic memories. They're all there, and it's kind of always been how do I say this? Like, I have this significant experience, and I feel like it's something. How do I save this? And one of the things I've been pushed to do a lot through the education program we ran was a lot of reading. And so kind of through a lot of reading, authors like Tim O'Brien, James Jones, different other veteran authors, I kind of saw where they did it or how they laid down the foundation of the system and kind of said, you know, use these steps. And I've kind of leaned on that heavily and kind of taken and picked things apart and said, okay, you know, these guys did this and it worked and I can do the same thing with my own story.
A memory like that, did that come to you when you said, look, I need to sit down and write something, and you began to go through the catalog of episodes? Or is this something that's been sort of rattling about, sort of banging around, asking to get out for a long time?
I think I'm gifted in a lot of ways as far as the memories of it. A lot of these kind of grisly memories I don't have a concrete image of. It's once I start taking a walk through the process. So I started the whole piece with a poem about a 240 machine gun. I was a machine gunner in Afghanistan. I did a lot of gunning on trucks. And I started with a really draw kind of concrete poem about that. And as I walked through that, that's when all these things started to come back and all these memories of, oh, you know, this happened and this happened. And that's kind of when the question of, okay, well, when did it happen? Did all these things happen at once? And it starts a bigger discussion that kind of goes on.
Rebecca, it seems to me, how much of this is particular to people in the military, perhaps particular to people with combat experience, and how much of the training, what Paul just talked about, taking a memory and going deeper into it and trying to open it up, is just what writing is all about?
Well, that's it. That is exactly what writing is about. You go into something and you take the risk of being a truth teller. And that's not always easy. And that's what we actually say, is just, if you're concerned about sharing this, like, that shouldn't be your first concern. Your first concern should be getting the words and the truth on paper first. So it's universal for writers.
Of course, the tricky thing, it seems to me, Paul, is the truth. I mean, what you have to tell yourself when you're in that situation, what you have to tell yourself afterwards, maybe what you have to tell your family, just to get you through that. There's a lot of obscuring and obfuscating in your own heart. Isn't there just a little bit to get us through any kind of traumatic difficulty?
Definitely, and that's what's exciting or interesting about it, I guess, is I mean, it is the same as a lot of other post-traumatic experiences that other people, if you're a civilian, you go through a car accident, you're going to tell yourself things. If you're somebody that came home and someone else didn't, you know, you're going to try and construct a story for yourself that it's easier to live with. But yeah, definitely the truth is always kind of goes both ways.
Rebecca, we talked about your military experience. You actually have some because it was all around you, right? It turns out you didn't serve, but when you looked up, there they were all around you.
Yeah, I kind of forgot because I just looked at the Veterans Writing Collective as to, well, I'm not a veteran. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, well, my partner served 24 years SF in the Army, and my dad is a Vietnam vet, and I have two brothers who served, and my grandfather served. And I had kind of forgotten that. I know that sounds funny, but I was like, what am I bringing to it? But we didn't really talk about it when I was growing up. My dad never talked about his Vietnam experiences. And so I didn't know what my role in it was.
And you have written a poem for your father, right?
I did. We didn't talk about it, but we discovered it one day, my two older brothers and I, and this is what this poem is about. And I actually gave this to my dad for Christmas, which was terrifying, but it worked out all right. So this is called Secret Album. My two older brothers and I found the dark green album in the center cubby of the coffee table, behind the pillow-jacketed books of baby photos. We sat Indian style on the living room floor, elbows to knees, head and hands, an unopened secret between us. I can still see, framed on black paper, powder soft, our dad, shirtless, laughing, holding an M16. It made us nervous, that gun, but not as nervous as the photos of the dark-haired women in the shiny dresses or no dresses at all. Does Mom know? I'd whisper, eyes on the door. We spend hours taking turns on high-low sculpted carpet, backs huddled lower than the coffee table, flipping the pages, wondering how our dad, who took us fishing at Mary's Lake on Sundays, let us drink cream and sugared coffee from his thermos, and gave us rides on his blue Suzuki when Mom wasn't home, could be that man and know those women. We put the album back, burying it deep, and the next time we dug it out, the topless women were gone. And the next time, the women in the shiny dresses were gone. Then one day, near Christmas, the album was gone. We never asked about it, or about the photos, the man, or where he'd been, nor did we discuss the album among us. But often, I'd return to that cubby, alone over the years, that dark space, the secrets I almost found.
Rebecca King, co-founder of the Veterans Writing Collective and a consultant at Methodist University's Writing Center. So what happened when your dad read that?
Well, I didn't call him for Christmas, which was not good. But when we did finally speak, he was really overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, we have this tenuous relationship. We love each other, but I'm a writer and I tell secrets, and I've always been told not to tell secrets. And he loved it, and he really honored the work that I do.
Were you able to talk more about it between you?
Not yet.
Not yet? You're working on
going
it.
Home this summer, though.
But I find it fascinating that the most worrisome thing to you would have been the domestic implications of those ladies. And, of course, for him, perhaps, and I don't mean to impute this to him or speak for him, but, you know, if you've been through combat, the things you might worry about telling would have little to do with women and dresses. So that disconnect, what it is that worries the folks back home and what's on your mind, Paul, must be uppermost, or is it in your mind as you write? And try to communicate these thoughts to people.
I guess the way I really try and, I guess, split the two things. I did a lot of research my senior year, and one of the things I did a lot of reading vet works, and Tim O'Brien said something about how a non-veteran reading a veteran experience just can't really sink into that. And so when I write, I kind of divorce that. I write for the vets. I want to create a picture that's disturbing but disarmingly beautiful for people who haven't experienced it. But for the most part, I want to touch those people who are maybe looking for a way to talk about it or looking for a way to write about it or just anything. Find that commonality, just kind of a flag to raise in the darkness and say, hey, we're still here. Don't forget us. You still have people that have been through this too.
And you are also, I understand, pretty interested in demythologizing the combat experience and making it seem less glamorous than it sometimes might, particularly in the hands of non-veterans.
Mm-hmm, definitely. There's some awesome, like, wild things that happen with the veteran experience, and I mean awesome in the large sense of the word. It goes from, like, heroism, where you might know someone who's a veteran or was a veteran and they've died in service, and maybe they haven't been there's a heroification that happens there. And as a veteran, as somebody serving side by side, they have a totally different picture of that they do from maybe the person on the street. But in the same sense, there's still a memorial you have to honor and represent and preserve of that too. But it's pretty humbling to see and kind of experience and then try and represent that in written word to show both sides. Yes, this person's a hero, but possibly not in the terms that they're looked at.
Mm. Rebecca, you still haven't had that conversation with your father, but what about in your writing circles? Are people opening up? And do you see changes in people who are able to write about this?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. When we first began, people were really tentative to share. We got, you know, some far-off stories that really weren't about the internal stuff. And now our group has settled down. We have the same people coming back every month, and the stories are real, and they're true. And it's just to watch the transformation in the writing and in the dynamics of the group is incredible.
I want to thank you both. It's a great project. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebecca King is the co-founder of Veterans Writing Collective and a consultant at Methodist University's Writing Center. Paul Strobel is another co-founder. He's also an Army veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Paul is going to be in a panel discussion, Writing About War, April 12th, University of North Carolina, Greensboro. That panel is part of the North Carolina Writers Network Spring Conference, and you can find out more details at our website, stateofthings.org. Coming up next, the music of Bruce Pioff and Aaron Balance. Here they are. We get a little taste. Stay with us.
Maps on my tab, shaking off all the traps. Slow down the brain, slow down the train. None but the wind seems to be my friend. Comfort the afflicted, afflict the comfortable. Comfort the afflicted, afflict the comfortable. Sorting out all the shoulda, coulda, woulda. All the bad times just made the good times gooder. Fooled the course, railroaded too. But off the beaten track, I found my way back to you. Off the beaten track, I found my way back to you. Atticus, I ain't no scout. Mr. Boo Radley knows what I'm about. Had a glass of milk at the corner bar. I told him my story, he showed me his scars. He said, it don't matter if the cat's black or white, if he catches a mouse in the night. Mr. Boo Radley sure was right. Mr. Boo Radley sure was right.